Advertising works. Unfortunately, even stupid advertising. A few days ago, a jingle from an old ad campaign cycled through my brain. And as it did, I thought, what the fuck does an insect have to do with tuna? Or chicken, for that matter. And if I happen to see a mermaid, I'm not going to ask her about tuna. I'm going to ask her how she pees. Advertising, at its core, branding, is one of the most idiotic things mankind has ever devised. And now there's a new brand that has literally taken over the world. It surpassed Apple and Google and Amazon or any product or brand that ever existed. Hang on, I'll tell you all about it.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
Before we get to the world's biggest, newest, most powerful brand, let's linger a while longer on fish. I've caught a few tuna, never the big boys like bluefin or blackfin, but some yellowtail, a skipjack or two, and I don't ever remember seeing a label on any of them. Brands and labels make sense only on the crap that we make, huh? Cars and appliances, guitars, whiskey, stuff like that. But fish or beef or chickens or carrots or broccoli with labels on them are insane. All this branding bullshit began with the Industrial Revolution. Since manufacturing exploded, battalions of Don Drapers have been figuring out ways to make us buy shit. Not just any shit, but particular brands of shit, even when there is no difference whatsoever among those brands of shit. That's the holy grail of marketing magic, when they convince people that a commodity like, say, gasoline, differs among brands. All over America, people believe that Shell or Chevron or Exxon is better for your car than brand X. To fake out gullible consumers and make them pay a premium for brands, they come up with bullshit additives like Techron. You gotta love those trade names. Some people, devoid of their own identity, well, they derive one from the brands they buy. Their loyalty to these brands is as nonsensical as it is ferocious. So corporations spend boxcars of money on focus groups and behavioral psychologists and consultants to figure out which demographic might buy their product and how to make their messaging appeal to those people. Logo and brand people are obsessed, huh? Pickup trucks now have enormous aftermarket steel logos bolted over the grill. I'm talking metal letters that are 2, maybe 3 feet high that spell out the model of a car. Titan seems to be a thing in Los Angeles. Titan. See my Nissan Titan? It's a Titan, don't you know? From any angle you view that pickup, you're going to see a Titan logo. I want to stop one of those Titan guys and suggest he strap a Titan logo to the roof so aircraft and birds can also be sure it's a Titan. Logo people like to stack their logos too, don't they? The rear window of the minivan makes a great place. Right above that Honda Odyssey badge, just slap another Honda logo just to remove any doubt. Then those cutesy-poo whole family decals representing Mommy, Daddy, Kyle, Kaya, Karsten, Kirsten, Barfy, and Meow Meow. Ring those with Apple and Nike logos, just so the world knows their preferred phones and footwear. And now, the brand family's ready for a road trip. If somebody made a car without logos or badges and moldable fenders so you could kind of design and configure your own car, well, that would be pretty cool. The slickest cars I've ever seen are those that are so customized as to defy identifying the original manufacturer. Like that ZZ Top car. Super cool. Factory cars are designed by committee, and they tend to look that way. One of my favorite car shows happens every year on Dia de los Muertos in the San Fernando Valley. The chicks paint their faces like skulls. Why? To acknowledge mortality, that's why. Which beats hell out of most head-in-the-sand cultures who prefer to pretend that life will never end. And their lowrider boyfriends, well, those guys look at their cars as canvases, and holy shit, they do transform sheet metal into high art. I'll post some pictures of lowrider creations on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. They used to have a little car show along with a chili cook-off at the local parish where my kids went to grammar school. Guys would roll in with their restored 57 Chevys and vintage T-Birds, MGs, Ford Hot Rods, stuff like that. Each car had a story and represented somebody's realized dream. One year this broad shows up with a brand new Bentley and wants it in the car show. They tried to explain that her car didn't align with the spirit and purpose of the show, but she started to scream. So they let her park her brand new lease payment with all the other cars. Besides her Bentley, she was wearing a Gucci belt buckle, an iced Rolex, Oliver Peoples shades, and carried a Chanel bag. The guy with the 63 T-Bird looked at her and whispered in my ear, "Logo whore." People invest tremendous emotional capital in brands. And some of them do achieve cult status, right? Harley and Apple being two prime examples. If you shit-talk somebody's iPhone or MacBook or Road King, well, things can turn ugly fast. Why is that? A motorcycle or an electronic device is just a thing, isn't it? They all wind up recycled or as landfill. Why do people foam at the mouth defending a gizmo or a bike as they would their own children? In my early teens, I wanted a Harley-Davidson Electroglide. One day I was hanging out with my favorite uncle, Uncle John, who was quite an influence on me, and we're sitting in a Denny's on a summer morning scarving down our Grand Slam breakfasts, when from the parking lot comes that unmistakable throaty growl of a big Harley. I look outside and there's this enormous biker dude setting the kickstand on an electric glide in electric blue, the bike I wanted. Then I tell my uncle how cool I think that ride is. I've got all the specs in my head. I start babbling about displacement and torque and compression ratios, yada yada. After a while, I take another look at the owner who is now sitting at the counter. This guy was pushing 300 pounds, full biker regalia. He had his colors on with the name of his club and the Rockers, and these huge guns just covered with Harley-Davidson logos and insignia. All their trademarks. His arms were inked from wrist to shoulder, all Harley stuff, all of it. And so I ask Uncle John, sotto voce, what he thinks of the biker. Uncle John runs an eye over the dude, takes a sip of his coffee and says, "I think if the Harley-Davidson company goes out of business, he's going to have an identity crisis." Well, with his terse summation of that biker, everything snapped into focus for me. His insightful comment distilled brands and brand loyalty to their ludicrous essence. And now we have a new global brand, the most successful product of all time. The world's biggest, most recognizable name. One that instantly generates a visceral response in people in every corner of the globe. It's not Apple, it's not Google, Amazon, Disney, McDonald's, or Nike. No, it's COVID-19. The world's biggest brand and product. Corporations must be so jealous. What other product has a 100% share of market and 100% share of mind? And make no mistake, COVID-19 is a product. It's a bioweapon engineered by people. A year ago, anyone who disputed that fact wasn't paying attention. By this point, if they deny it was man-made, they're in denial or stupid. COVID-19, even as a great product name, the melding of letters and numbers. Well, that gives it gravitas. Kaida says it's here to do something. It's not fucking around. Like WD-40, Vicks Formula 44, 357 Magnum. COVID-19, the disease, it's also a caliber. Guys who like camo and paracord bracelets and demolition can shorten it and call it C-19. It's like C-4's big brother. And it is demolishing the world. What made COVID-19 the world's most successful product? Well, gain-of-function research. How long until major corporations establish gain-of-function divisions? You know there are corner office assholes staring out the window right now, their chins resting on their fists, wondering,
what can gain-of-function research do for my brand?
There are probably creeps at McKinsey Consulting dreaming up PowerPoint presentations entitled,
Growing Your Revenues with Gain-of-Function.
At this point, the virus and the vaccines have practically merged, haven't they? They're one fucking entity. The germ mutates, and so will the vaccines. They'll move in lockstep. The entire planet is playing medical whack-a-mole, and may be for the rest of time. And Homo sapiens, being the tragically fucked up species they are, have projected over the virus all the same cockeyed values and bigotry they have over everything else since we crawled out of the caves. Now it's about teams, isn't it? It's always been about teams. No matter what's going on in the world, it must be reduced to teams. Why do people have this need to take a side over shit? Tommy Lasorda bled Dodger blue? What if they didn't renew his contract? Would he have bled Yankee pinstripes? Growing up in New York, I was asked 1,000 times,
Yankees or Mets?
And since I didn't give a shit about them, or any team of any type, I'd answer with the name of a sumo wrestler. Then I'd get the look.
Fuck's the matter with that guy? He don't like baseball. Must be queer or something.
And so it goes. Mets or Yankees, Coke or Pepsi, hot dogs or burgers, mustard or ketchup, red or blue, black or white, straight or gay, everyone must choose a side. And now, there's a world war in progress over a fucking product you can't even see, which may or may not work. And if it does work, it's only for like 6 months. And then you gotta get a booster or a new vaccine because the bioweapon, COVID-19, is a shape-shifting little prick. The team and logo freaks are so pissed off they're demanding everyone join their team and carry a team logo with a little paper vax passport, or better still, a QR code on their fucking phone. Wonder how those smooth brains who had Pfizer logos tattooed on their arms will feel when the vax bouncer at the craft brewery says,
sorry dude, your vax tat's no good here. Where's your QR code? Oh, you don't have one? Well, come back when you do and make sure your mask covers your nose. It's slipping.
So now we've got these fantastic riots in Australia, huh? People protesting lockdowns and forced vaxxing and asshole cops. And make no mistake about it, those Aussie cops are assholes.
Just doing my job, mate.
Yeah, fuck yourself, mate. There they are in their yellow vests, spraying protesters with some shit. When did that become a thing? Stop or I'll spray you? There's a big symbolic takeaway, isn't there? Like spraying bugs with insecticide. The unvaxxed are pests. Vermin. On the vax front, the Pfizer is still the big shot. With Moderna always runner-up and Johnson & Johnson a distant third. And why? Because J&J lacks the mystery factor. They make talcum powder and baby shampoo. They couldn't come up with anything complex enough to stop COVID-19. Pfizer, ooh, that sounds so techie, doesn't it? That silent P in front of the F? That must count for something. And Moderna, that must be good too.
It's so modern.
So now everybody's picked a team to back, to root for, and another one to hate and want to destroy. But allegiance to those teams, well, that can whipsaw fast, can't it? Seems like yesterday, all those doctors and nurses and EMTs, they were heroes, heroes. Every window and lawn had a sign proclaiming, "We thank our heroes." They worked day and night, and they did it with only face masks or shields, without a vaccine. But now, if those same people want to continue to work and save lives but not take a vaccine, well, they're not heroes anymore. They're selfish, ignorant pricks who don't follow the science. So they're being fired by the thousands. How'd that happen? Plenty of them got the virus and recovered and now have natural immunity, which many medical authorities say is exponentially more protective than a vaccine. But no.
Yeah, that's not right, science. You gotta believe our science.
With any luck at all, COVID-19, which is the ultimate brand, will also be the final brand. That shit will just keep mutating until they run out of Greek letters and vax formulae to combat it. Then the true Great Reset begins, when they wave the white flag and start vaccinating everyone with heroin. People will be much nicer. Eventually, all will request a lights-out hot shot of horse until the last two living human beings remain on Earth. Tony Fauci and Keith Richards. Keith will bludgeon Fauci with a Telecaster, and then there will only be Keith. That's when the intergalactic aliens will finally appear in plain sight and ask Keith what happened. He'll just shake his head and strum Wild Horses in open G. They'll write him off as a nut, climb back in their spaceship, and cruise over all the big cities. At Los Angeles, they'll drop altitude for a closer look, and the pilot will notice and mention a Nissan Titan with a roof logo. As they power up and head for Alpha Centauri, the co-pilot, he will open his lunchbox and tell the other guy, "Hey, I got an extra sandwich if you want it. Bumblebee tuna." Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. If you like what you just heard, slide over to thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes, plus images, videos, and more commentary. While you're there, click a subscribe button, Google, Apple, wherever you like to download. That way you never miss an episode. If you really like what you heard, click the Patreon or PayPal buttons and support this show. If you'd rather not donate through those outfits, there's a P.O. Box address. Follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Mastodon. You'll see links for all those also on the show page, along with an email address if you want to write to me. My friends, the world has never, ever been more fucked up than it is right now. Keep those you love close. Maintain situational awareness at all times. Be prepared for anything. I'll see you next Wednesday, or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit.